Now, thousands of people who've been told to self-isolate are failing to do it. That's according to a report from University College London, which estimates 20% of the 100,000 people asked to self-isolate every day don't. The government has offered a one-off payment of £500 for people on low incomes who have to self-isolate, but new figures from the TUC suggest three-quarters of those applying for those grants are being rejected. Josie Tothill from Manchester stayed away from her job as a carer after her sister caught COVID. Now, Josie self-isolated, but with no financial support.
I wasn't contacted by Track and Trace, which is firstly very worrying for the spread of coronavirus. But it also meant that I didn't have the notification or the text or the Track and Trace number that I would have needed to get the grant. So that meant that I had to self-isolate for 2 weeks without any kind of income support, and I'm directly paid by the person who I work for, so I don't really have like documentation of my work. It was a really hard decision, honestly, because missing 2 weeks of wages, it does really financially affect you, and I consider myself really lucky that I was able to do that, because of course everyone who knows that they've had some kind of exposure, they don't want to be going out spreading the virus. They want to be able to isolate and to keep their community safe. But if you don't have that financial support, it can be made impossible for you. Like if you're having to decide between whether to feed your kids or not, whether to pay rent or not, it stops being a choice and it just becomes impossible, and people are forced into these situations.
It's Josie Tothill. Well, the grants are administered by local authorities in England, and they say overly strict government criteria means they have to reject many applicants. Dr. Nishant Joshi is a trainee GP in Luton, and he says he's seeing patients with this dilemma all the time.
People come to me with essentially a Sophie's Choice situation where they say, "But doctor, I know I have to self-isolate, but also I don't have enough money to put food on my table." If I say to somebody who comes to me with a health problem and I say, you need to take a couple of weeks off work, I've had patients who come to me and they're in tears. They are in tears.
Dr. Nishant Joshi. The government disputes the suggestion that three quarters of applicants are being rejected, as it says the figures are only taken from just over half the 314 local authorities involved. The Department of Health and Social Care told us they're continuing to work closely with all local authorities. Well, listening to that is Stephen Reicher. He's the Professor of Psychology from St Andrews University, and he advises governments on their coronavirus response. Welcome to you and yours.
Hello.
Professor Reicher, first of all, people on low incomes are being forced to choose between following the rules and feeding their family. It is as simple as that, isn't it?
I think it is as simple as that. And what's more, I think the problem is much bigger than the 20% figure suggests. That study from UCL finds 20% of people who are asked to self-isolate if their contacts don't do so, but it finds that 40% of people who are symptomatic don't do so. And what's more, if you look at the sample, it's a sample of people who are far more likely to comply than the majority of the population. If you look at different studies, they suggest that up to 80% of people don't comply. Now, that's probably an overstatement, but if you look at all the studies in the round, it suggests that probably the majority of people aren't fully complying. Probably 50, 60, possibly even 70% of people aren't complying. Now, we spend somewhere between £22 and £45 billion on test and trace. But the whole point of test and trace as a system is to get people to self-isolate. That's the way in which you break transmission. So if we don't support people to self-isolate and people can't self-isolate, then we're wasting a vast amount of money. And it makes good financial sense, quite apart from the issues of equality and the humanity of it, to support to people to do things which are absolutely critical for us being able to control this pandemic.
So you advise the government on behaviour. What do you think that answer is?
Well, look around the world, and what you find is that in countries where you give people support, and it's not just financial support, because self-isolating isn't just about the money. I mean, the money is critical. But if you live in a crowded household with one toilet, with one bathroom, how on earth do you self-isolate unless you're given extra accommodation? What about getting hold of food? How do you do that without getting going out? What about medicines? What about walking the dog? Now, if you go look at New York, New York isn't handling the pandemic perfectly, but when it comes to self-isolation, they have a take care package, which provides finance, which provides hotel accommodation if you need it, which provides medicines and food. They'll even walk your dog for you. And they find that 80% of people self-isolate. So the evidence from around the world is quite simple and quite clear that if you want people to do something, that's very difficult to do. And what's more, remember that people are self-isolating, not so much for themselves, it doesn't make much difference to them, but for their community. You're asking them to do something difficult for the good of the community, then it makes good sense to give people the support they need. And the final point I would make is this. When you look at compliance as a whole, when you look at things like people distancing, wearing masks, hygiene, observing hygiene, actually compliance is remarkably high. When people can do things, they're doing them. Most of the public wants to comply and do the things that will keep the pandemic under control. Self-isolation is an exception in the degree of non-compliance, which suggests again that the issue isn't motivation. People couldn't be bothered. It's much more an issue of practicality. And once again, support people, especially those who are deprived, especially those who are poor, and we will have a far more equitable and efficient response.
Now, I was listening to More or Less on Radio 4 last week, and Tim Harford brought up some interesting unintended consequences of incentive payments. So do you think the government fears people will take risks deliberately just so that they can claim the cash?
Well, if we look at incentives, again, what we find is the lack of support for self-isolation impacts testing all the way down the line. So a lot of people aren't getting tested, and more poor people are not getting tested because they don't want to learn that they're positive and have to self-isolate when they can't afford it. The lack of support means that poor people are less likely to give their contacts. So all the way through the testing system, it is undermined by creating a situation in which you're asking people to do something which is impossible for them to do.
And there we must leave it. Professor Rush, we've run out of time. Thank you so much.